Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could all be with us this morning. All of a sudden, as we've moved into April, Holy Week is just 1 week away. And next Sunday here at our 11 o'clock service, we're going to have Faith Factor back with us, and our children are going to be singing. So quite a service we've got here in just 1 week. And then, of course, with Easter now just 2 weeks away, that means that we've got several things. First of all, in your service folders is another copy of the Easter Lily form. If you have not gotten those filled out, please do so today. We've got to place that order tomorrow morning. The details are in there. You can follow them as you need to. Our teens are also back in Narthex number 2. They are selling tickets to the Easter breakfast. That will be what takes place between the services that day. And of course, we also, besides our services here, we have a sunrise service at 7 a.m. out at Timber Green's Golf Course, out on the 11th fairway. Next week, as we get close, the Faith Factor folks will have a little sheet that's got the directions as to how to get, if you want to be a part of that 7 o'clock sunrise service out on the golf course. One of the most unique services that we have here, and something that it's grateful. It's been a well-received part of our ministry here from year to year. Next week, even though it is Palm Sunday, we will be having also our fellowship, our regular Sunday fellowship. We've only got a couple of those left before we move into summer, so we hope that you could join us for all of that next week. We do have one Wednesday night left for our Lenten services, but this time around, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We have one confirmation student, Aiden Thompson. So we're going to convert that night into I Believe Night. We would usually have a separate banquet, but we're going to put the two together. So Wednesday night is going to be a banquet. We're going to have an Italian feast that we're going to be putting together that night. And we will be just having God's people just come along. There was never a cost for to come to the I Believe Night in times past. And there will still be a worship service on that theme, the gospel in 7 words. It will be a much shorter version of the service as we go through the things we're going to. So please join us. When you look at all that we've been doing meal-wise through first Advent and then Lent, this is going to be our last one for quite a while. And so we hope that you join us for that. It certainly has been a wonderful time of fellowship for everybody involved. Excuse me. The last announcement that I have is that we had, at some point on Monday mornings, we have people who serve as our counters. They arrive about 8:30 on Monday morning, and look, if there's a bank holiday, they do it on Tuesday, but usually it's on Monday morning. There used to be a number of them that were doing that. Now there's almost nobody, and so we need some counters, and since it suggests that you contact the office, the best thing that you can do if you'd like to be a counter would be to show up tomorrow morning about 8:30. They'll be glad to show you what it is that needs to be done. It's not a long or difficult process. They just need people to help them do that. So we begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce unto you the grace of God. In this stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The reading from the Holy Scriptures are appointed for the fifth Sunday in Lent. The Old Testament lesson comes from the 43rd chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord gives refreshment in the wilderness to his chosen people. Reading from verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariots and horses armed with warriors. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a little thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beast will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from St. Peter's letters to the Philippians, the third chapter. Everything is counted as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. Reading from verse 8. St. Paul writes, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and sustaining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the resurrection.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him. But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours. And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, surely not. But he looked directly at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. The scribes and the Pharisees sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise be to you, Christ. We join Christians throughout the world in confessing our Christian faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God's grace, mercy, and peace to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you were with us this past Wednesday evening? We not only had a cook-off, macaroni and cheese and stuff like that, but our teams also had a silent auction. And it would seem as though the most popular item being bid on at that auction was 3 certificates for a 5-minute sermon. And they were shocked that one of the people that was bidding on those 5-minute sermons was me. And that they were wondering, hey, what's this guy doing? And look, if you need an answer to that question, just supporting the youth, that's what I'm doing. I did not know at that time what was going to happen. I woke up Friday morning just in a ton of pain. I had an abscessed tooth. I was in the dentist's office. There's not much they can do. I've started taking medication, but the last 2 nights were bad, and last night was even worse. After I did Saturday worship last night, it was a terribly painful night. That things finally started settling down about 6 o'clock, but I sensed last night and again today that it was all I was going to be able to do this. And so my friends, while I hadn't planned on cashing it in when I first wrote this, I guess you're going to get today the first of 3 installments, sermon, in about 5 minutes. My text, my friends, is from our second lesson. I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. How do we measure success? I suppose if you're in a nation or in a kingdom, you'd like to see a large place, a very prosperous nation, one that's going to last a long time, and if it's got a king, where the king is able to settle in and have himself a nice long kingdom. But we kind of relate more to success on a smaller level. So take a look at your neighborhood. Just where you live probably says something, but you may even notice that, yes, there does seem to be a competition. Who has the nicest landscaping? Who has the nicest vehicle? In a sporting event, success is measured sometimes by individual prizes like a medal, sometimes by team championships. But how do we measure the price of spiritual success in a Christian's heart? My friends, we need to measure success. We need to judge it by 3 things: what we risk, what we lose, and what we gain. First of all, we have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to risk for the prize, the upward call of Jesus Christ our Lord? We got too many people that will not even risk getting unfriended by one person on Facebook. We have people that do not even begin to understand that a spiritual relationship to Christ is the most important thing. in life. Whatever it is that we need to risk, and it might be different from person to person, but there are always things that want to stand in the way, and we need to be willing to risk losing every one of them. There are people, even in the United States, that live in places where confessing Christ can be downright dangerous. The culture is distinctly against Christianity. Are we willing to take that risk? But in the midst of the risk, whenever you take a risk, it might be worth it, and there are some things you win. But there are also some things that are lost. And more is being lost all the time. Lifelong friendships over the silliest of things. Families being broken up that won't even celebrate Thanksgiving anymore because of differences in politics. But what was Christ willing to lose? Christ came down from heaven to become one of us, to die on the cross. And because he was willing to do that, should we be willing to lose anything? Let's, oh, we haven't come down from heaven, but we should be willing to lose everything. St. Paul even describes it as everything else in life being like rubbish. Now, if you need to know what rubbish is, my friends, it's not just, oh, I'm done with this piece of paper, let's throw it away. No. Rubbish is the kind of thing that when you throw it away, you want to get rid of it. It's the kind that is something you don't want to see. It's something that stinks. It's something that the minute it goes into the garbage, you want to seal up the garbage, get it outside, and hope the garbage man comes tomorrow. The rest of life is like that compared to what we receive in Jesus Christ. So from that, what do we gain? In this world, our idea of gain would be something like being able to go down to that corner market and knowing which of those scratch-off tickets is the one that's got the most money on it, knowing right off the bat that's the one, or knowing which of those numbers are going to be the ones drawn for the next jackpot. But what kind of gain is that? We have no certainty of that. There are far more losers than winners. The one certainty we have in gain is through Jesus Christ. No one would ever look at a wooden beam being used as an execution means, as a means to success, but there it is. Everything we could ever want, a clear relationship, full access to God in the waters of holy baptism, the ability to constantly receive more through his word. And what is the price of that? In this world, we may have to give up more and more. We may have to see more and more going against us. More and more hatred, more and more resistance. But it also brings us closer to Christ. And what is the asking price for this? Well, Christ paid the price. He did it all. He has even placed that gift into us in the Holy Spirit by faith. So what's the price for us? The price of spiritual success for us? Why? Nothing at all. His price means you get everything for nothing. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Please note the special prayer response that is on the screen as we pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, blessed is your name forever. Blessed is your word forever. Blessed is your Son forever. We praise you for all that you have gained for us, that you were willing to lose everything, that you came down from heaven and became as one of us, then gave your life on the cross that we might have life. We rejoice that you have rescued us from eternal destruction and blessed us with your love and mercy. We thank you that you have not punished us as we deserve, but in grace and mercy, you carried our sins and suffered for our transgressions that we might have everlasting life. Give us daily joy in the free forgiveness for all our sins and in all the endless blessings of the gospel that you share, Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the limitless love that is in the gift of Christ your Son, for his sacrifice, for the promise of eternal life through his resurrection, the cleansing of our consciences. Grant that through the new and better covenant obtained through his blood, we may all rejoice in your rich blessings, that as he has spoken to us the words of life, that we are inspired to love and worship him in spirit and in truth. Help us at all times to trust in his mercy, to be faithful to his word, that we may honor him in faith and life, in word and deed, and prepare ourselves for the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, cleanse and strengthen your church, O God, that it may be saved from all weakness and failure, and be filled with power for holy service. Govern the nations on earth that people everywhere may live in harmony with their fellow men and serve one another's needs. Pour out your grace on our homes and schools, that the young may be trained for a useful life on earth and be made ready for the life to come. Bless all who work, and remind us always that in our on all the things that we do, as we are blessed by you, as we are strengthened by you, as we are uplifted by you, we are also accountable to you, Lord, in your mercy. Give your strength to all who suffer sickness, pain, heartache, disease, bereavement, loneliness, or any other trouble of body, mind, or spirit. Enable them to bear their cross with faith. Remind each and every one of us, Lord, that as you comfort these people, you are the help of the needy, the protector of the helpless, and the savior of all people. We now lift up our hearts as we bring before you someone in our own life that is in need of the special help and comfort that you give, that we name before you in a moment of silence. Give us always wisdom and direction, that we may serve you, living in peace and righteousness, and as you have shown your blessings to us, continue to bring us closer and closer to you, through him who has won the eternal victory and has gained for us the knowledge of salvation, and who has taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the bottom of page 7 in our service folders is our closing unison prayer. Or again, you may follow along up on the screen. We pray that prayer together. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the hearts and wills of those whom you have fed through word and sacrament, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Friends, thank you for joining us today. Have a blessed week. Go in peace and serve the Lord.